tonight. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:32 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners, the Gadigal people whose land we're on this afternoon, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadigal elders past, present and future, all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Okay, item 2, recording of attendance and apologies. 2.1, attendance. Attendance of elected members. As noted, with invited guests this evening, Hedland Senior High School John Burke and also Core Business Australia Bruce Lorimer and John Batink. Welcome. 2.2, apologies nil. 2.3, approved leave of absence nil. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from the public at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 24th of April. There were nil. 3.2, questions from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 24th of April. There are nil. 3.3, questions from the public at the special council meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of May at 4:50. Nil. 3.4, questions from elected members at the special council meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of May at 4:50. There were nil. 3.5, questions from public at special council meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of May at 5 p.m. There were nil. 3.6, questions from elected members at the special council meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of May at 5 p.m. There were nil. 3.7, questions from public at special council meeting held on Thursday the 9th of May. There were nil. And 3.8, questions from elected members at the special council meeting held on Thursday the 9th of May 2013. There were nil. Okay, item 4, public time. Public, this is your time. Just an important note, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting right at the outset. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Also, before I begin public time, I'd just like to relay that in regards to item 11.4.2.3, the Wanangarra Stadium Process Review, our independent report authors, my messy writing, Core Business Australia, Bruce Lorimer and John Batink. If you just wouldn't mind just doing me the honour of standing up just so people could see. Guys, if anyone in the public does have a question in regards to the Wanangarra Stadium Process Review and the independent report which was produced, thank you very much, you can ask the independent report authors a question direct, but direct the question to me and then I'll direct it to the authors there so that we can ensure we do get that independency in regards to questions and getting them direct from the authors. You're fine with that, Bruce and John?
Yes.
Terrific. So just letting all the members of the public know that. All right, 4.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 5:35. If you have a question, could you just raise your hand so I could see how many questions we've got for this evening? Just one, two. Okay, start question time. Please state your name nice and clear for the recording.
Martin, this is a repeat of the question of 3 months ago.
Yep.
The guy in those damaged metal signs outside the business premises in Port and South Adam. Has there been an update on that issue at all yet?
See ya.
Can I defer to the Director of Development Services?
Advise our Manager of Planning to have a look at it. I believe our compliance officer is currently in the process of looking at those properties and reporting that back when we find a way forward with them.
Does that assist, Mr. Wall? Okay. Any further public questions? Please state your name nice and clear.
In tonight's reconciliation statement of financial activity, period ending the 30th of April, on page 9, it shows $71,173,000 in reserves. The bank reconciliation on page 17, we show the reserve account at $23,100,000. And then we have the ANZ, NAB, and the WATC amount, which gives us a total of $64,758,000, as shown on page 17 of the report, as true. So can we explain how $7,600,000 that is highlighted in red in brackets on page 9 is missing out of the reserve?
CEO?
Madam Mayor, can I ask the Director of Corporate Services? I'm just trying to find that page while you're speaking, Mr. Blanken.
Page 9 and page 17.
Okay, but if I can initially defer that to the Director of Corporate Services.
Take it on notice.
I did a copy of the NAB bank statement that shows the full history of the $16 million, and also the ANZ bank statement that shows the full history of the $22 million of the Marina Reserve. And also, can I ask, what is WATC stand for?
West Australian Treasury Corporation.
Okay, so that $3,470,000 is listed in our reserves. We must have a statement for that as well. Is that wrong?
A statement for the Treasury.
Well, yeah, it's because it's listed under our reserves on page 17, and it's added into the reserve.
So that'll be a loan. Proceeds.
Through the chair, that's our royalty for regions funding that is required to be held by WATC in an overnight deposit cash facility.
So that's an amount we have in an account.
The amount owing to the town of Port Hedland.
Separate to the
based on a financial funding agreement with the state of Western Australia.
Okay, so it's separate to the reserves.
Yes.
Why is it added into the reserve account on page 17?
It's funds owing to the whatever.
So through the chair, the reserve fund on page 17, halfway up the page, shows as per our National Australia Bank statement. Mm-hmm. So we have a bank account held with the National Australia Bank, which holds most of our reserves. We obviously do investments, and the WATC was required as part of the funding agreement for royalties for regions that it has to be held in that bank account. It cannot be held within our normal National Australia Bank reserve, which is why it's listed separately.
Any further questions?
Yes. So if it's held in our reserve account, then we must have a statement for it. Is that correct?
See ya.
Trying to understand, when you say a statement, a bank statement showing transactions in and out of the statement, in the account.
Can we have that money in our reserve account?
Yes, we can approve that.
Can we approve it? Yes. Can I have a statement then?
So you've asked for a number of statements. I'd like to clarify the statements you're after for which accounts and for which months.
Well, it doesn't actually say which account. It doesn't have any account numbers in the in that report. It just says NAB, $22.5 million. I mean, NAB, $16 million. ANZ, $22.5 million. And WATC is $3,474,143.08.
So
through the chair, the NAB and ANZ is a term deposit. We can quite easily provide a copy of that term deposit. And WATC, we could certainly source something there that shows the transactions going in and out. They're only our transactions. There's no commercial in confidence around those, with no other parties accessing them, so I don't see that to be any problem.
So
we just require the months.
So it's a loan? Is that what
you
just
said? No.
We'll just repeat it again. Yes, please turn around and please repeat.
So the National Australia Bank and the ANZ is a term deposit.
Yes, so I understand.
So we can provide a copy of the term deposit statements. The WATC is the Doug West Australian Treasury Corporation, mm-hmm. which is not a bond. It's an overnight cash deposit facility where we're required to hold funds in that cash deposit facility as part of our funding agreement for the Royalties and Regions Reserve.
Okay.
So it's essentially like another bank account. It's not loan funds.
Okay. So do we have a statement, you know, some piece of paper that says that's what we've got in that account for the Royalties and Regions?
Yeah, we've certainly got that.
Okay.
And just to clarify, Mr. Blanco, you want that as of the most recent statement available?
As of what it says in the...
For the end of month.
That's right. The reporting to the Wangara Stadium said that the investigation team had to receive information through the town's project manager, who then undertook the engagement with the key stakeholders. Can someone explain how the report can be classed as independent when the town has a direct influence with the report's outcome?
CEO?
Through Madam Mayor, the report is not influenced and stakeholders' involvement was not influenced. That's your perception or your perspective. The report and the framework behind the report was we made sure there was one contact person within the town of Port Hedland, so there weren't mixed messages or incorrect information being either sourced or disseminated.
Okay. The auditors said their scope was that they were not allowed to talk with the major stakeholders. They had to speak through the town, through the project manager. Is that correct?
The scope did not say they were not permitted to talk. Scope said they were to go through the project manager first.
So they didn't talk to the... Anyway, do you really think that is an independent report if they had to talk to the project, to the town's project manager instead of talking directly to the project team?
Mr. Blanco, with your kind permission, perhaps I could ask Bruce Lorimer. Certainly, Bruce, you are the key and lead author of the report. Would you be prepared to talk on its independency, whether it is an independent report?
Just directly.
Absolutely, Madam Mayor. We put that note in there simply because if the council undertakes future studies of that nature, from a project point of view, our end, undertaking the work, it would have been a lot easier to sift through the information and understand the information if we had had face-to-face discussions with certain people. It was just, we and I was specific in the report to note we didn't see that there was anything untoward by the town adopting the process that it took, and I fully understood why the council took that step, put that process in place, particularly as there are a number of staff members involved, a number of external stakeholders involved, and a lot of them had moved on and hadn't had an opportunity to be involved in the investigation. So it was just simply a matter, it would have helped us, and if you undertake a project of this nature in the future, it'll help future people undertaking projects to be able to sit down and have a discussion with certain people to try and understand the whole process without having to sift through mountains and mountains of documentation, which we had to do in this instance. It was simply that it was not meant to do it directly to the council to say, they shielded information or made it more difficult than it needed to be. It was just a simple matter of process.
So it is a common process and it is an independent report?
Oh, it's definitely independent. I mean, the town had no influence over us, that's for sure, and we were specific to state that up front before we took the project on. Because one of our strengths is we like to give councils frank and forthright advice, and often it's not what they like to hear. So I'm very strong on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Blanco. Any further public questions? Okay, I declare public question time closed at 5:46. Thank you very much. And now 4.2, public statement time. I declare public statement time open at 5:46 also. Any public statements? Please state your name nice and clear.
Yes, Madam Mayor, councillors, I've been swallowed today. I think I read somewhere, I think it was last week in the West Australian newspaper, about the Department of Transport building by potentially in the next 5, 10, maybe 15 years, redeveloping and adding on to existing port structures statewide, because we need to increase the capacity to be able to export overseas. And one sentence mentioning that there is a potential that Port Hedland could have an extra 11 bulk berths within the inner harbour of Port Hedland, because I'm leaving the end of the year, as you know, and it's going to happen a long time after I've left. I want to put on notice that I'm very strongly opposed to that proposition, because I think there has to be a so-called cut-off point by which we have to stop redeveloping or developing, let's say, the inner harbour of Port Hedland, because I just don't think it can take any more berths beyond its present capacity, and all future development should happen in the outer harbour of Port Hedland, which I think would be a lot better for the inner harbour of Port Hedland. Thank you, that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks, Mr. Wally, and it certainly is recorded on audio here as well, so thank you. Any further public statements? Please state your name nice and clear.
I'm Jo Foley, and tonight I'm representing those members of our Hedland Community Living Association for families with disabled family members. This morning, those of us that were able enough, and that was a difficult task even there, met with the new consultant that's coming to solve all our ills in the way of disabled access, and I'm pretty, we are pretty upset of the current record of this council and the holding of their obliged day meetings. They had an undertaking that they would have one every bi-monthly, and that has not happened this year. Mm. This, to us, looks like a rush job at the end to get it finished for the fiscal year. 6 weeks before, suddenly there's a consultant from out of town, yet another one, that knows nothing of the people to contact or anything about what's gone on previously, and are going around trying to find, tap into those people to get some information. And as far as the long-term local people with family members with disabilities are concerned, they have lost all hope for something different and new to come from this council. They've watched the stadium be built with inaccessible doors, they've watched the pool be built with a ramp that'll tip people into the water when they get to the end of it. They're not included in any of the process that goes on, save the park at Cemetery Beach, and after many years of asking why that monstrosity of a wheelchair stream stayed there, finally we got an answer, and there is going to be change there. But other than that, it's really been a difficult road for our families with family members with disabilities. And the last time we were truly included and had the feeling of true input was when Michelle McKenzie was in the council, and that was 1996. The people I'm talking about are all people that have been here at least for 20 years and have watched progressively as nothing more was done to what was done then. And I've given my opinion, and what I would like to see is some true major changes that would make us restore our faith in this council and their ability to look after the people that are exhausted from banging on this drum and trying to get the members of the council, the council staff, to truly counsel.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Joan Foley, and certainly we'll rise to that challenge and make sure that we amend what we need to be amending. So thank you for raising it. Any further public statements? Please state your name nice and clear.
Yes, my name is Andrea Shumeski, and I'd like to make a statement about the agenda items that's coming up this evening, which is 11.1.1 It's an amendment on a town planning scheme number 58, which you can all see here in the minutes of this evening. The matter relates to the rezoning of the land that's actually bounded by Apple Street, Cook Point Road West and Printful. It looks like a vacant lot at the moment, which has got a lovely tidal inlet on it. Urge councillors to either reconsider or possibly defer their vote this evening, because it's going to change the whole nature of that area from parks and recreation reserve and partly rural. It also has the horsing stables on it. It will change it to urban development. It's a tidal inlet and part wetland, which also in the documentation has raised the concerns for both the Department of Environment and Conservation, and also the Department of Water, specifically regarding flooding. It's a tidal inlet that actually has a up to 7 metre tide in 6 months of the year. And I have to say, when that actually is flooded, it looks spectacular. It's a bird zone, it's an area for mangrove habitation, and I think there's still lots of questions to be answered in terms of the environmental concerns. I think once it's actually been rezoned, it'll be extremely hard to go back and unzone it. I think there are other areas that are definitely available to be developed in this town that haven't been built upon yet, including McGregor Street. There's lots of area that's currently underutilised, I think, before the conversation. So my statement is, if you can reconsider and defer something that's actually a natural asset.
Thank you for your statement, and councillors, you'll take that into consideration when you consider item 11.1.1.7, and I urge you to stay and see the consideration of that item. Any further public statements? All right, I declare public statement time closed at 5:53. Thank you, members of the public. Item 5, questions from members without notice. Deputy Mayor. Councillor Carter.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have two questions. The one is that I noticed that at last that they have started the replacement of the Anderson Street upgrade down there on the verges, and removal of a lot of those horrible trees and shrubs that have been down there. Let's hope that when they replace them that they're not going to put the same type of vegetation back in there again. I noticed they've started that now, so I'd just like to ensure that they don't go back to the old type of vegetation, because that was a disaster.
CEO or Director, are you able to comment on what will be replanted or put in its place?
No, actually. I do know it's in accordance with our verge policies, but I haven't actually seen the... I know a landscape plan has been submitted, but I haven't seen it. So
we can take that on notice for bringing back, so that people are aware what will be put in its place.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And the other question is, for the last 15 years, I'd say, or probably a little bit longer, I've been negotiated or associated with all tender document operations in the town of Port Hedland. For some unknown reason, the last three or four tender documents, I have never been notified of the opening of the tenders or been invited to appear. I just like to put the council that I do go back on that list that I was removed from for some unknown purpose, and that I do be notified of the notice of opening of tenders.
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, the opening of tenders is conducted immediately following the close of tenders. Anyone is entitled to attend. There is no reason why an elected member has to be there or the council have to be there. There is no set position by council to have a councillor there. Councillor Carter is more than welcome to attend. What you're asking is to be notified of those opening.
I understood he was a member of the Shire to be representative of all opening. Council is there to be a representative of council about opening of all tenders.
I'm not aware of any policy or any resolution.
I just thought it was strange that all of a sudden I was removed after I did query some of the tender documentation. And I thought it was rather unusual up to that time, not just for 3 months, for 20 odd years. But all of a sudden I was attended opening, and all of a sudden I don't even be advised to tender opening.
All I'd say, Madam Mayor, is there's no specific direction to exclude Councillor Carter.
Okay.
can guarantee that. Notwithstanding that, as I've indicated, there's not a councillor position on any opening committee. Anyone from the public can be there for opening
exactly,
the tender.
Exactly.
And any elected member is entitled to be there.
Yeah.
I guess out of courtesy to councillors, perhaps an email should be sent out advising of the opening process. Again, it's not up for councillors to be involved in that process. All they are is a witness to the opening of the tenders.
Or a matter of ethics that we could be advised that they're going to be open. Please. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thanks. Councillor Gillingham?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just two questions there, thank you. The area between Anderson Street, Wilson Street, where we have the green belt that has been growing nicely, we seem to have come to a path that sort of ends and then nothing's happening. I'd like to know what is the next process in joining this green belt along towards where BHP gates are. Could you, do we know any more on that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I had a meeting with BHP last Friday afternoon in relation to the landscaping issues and including some of the points that Councillor Carter just raised on Anderson Street. And that particular area was commented on, and as I understand from the comments from BHP, they funded the majority of those works, and they have they were not necessarily happy with how some of that work has turned out. Some of that work was done by secondary contractors, not by the town of Port Hedland. That ended up with some issues about reticulation and plant species that were probably put in that were not necessarily ideal for the long term. In terms of the area between the kangaroos and that built park, it's been indicated that area should be just remnant bushland or vegetation. It's not supposed to be a parkland and it's not supposed to be accessible for anyone. In terms of the area from there up to the first houses where the formalised park is, I'm not aware of any further plans to extend that park, notwithstanding we could continue to have discussions about creating a better green belt in those areas where there is no development planned.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. To add on to that, also the reticulation that's heading down towards the west end of town, what's actually happening with that? Is that part of what your answer was there to the Chair?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes it is, and I understand that the as constructed drawings were only received last week after 12 months of requests for understanding where the reticulation was coming from, how it had been put into the ground. Our operations staff achieved receipt of those as constructed drawings from the contractor early last week, and they will now be able to go back and look at those areas that need rectification.
All right, thank you for that. One more if I may, Madam Mayor. I've asked questions this week about Athol Street, Cook Point Drive area where we see the bulldozing at the moment, and thank you for Zabia for coming along this evening and picking my brains as well, because you've enlightened me on that. Thank you, Zabia. Could you please let us know exactly, or could we let the public know what you've mentioned this afternoon about what actually is happening with the bulldozing there, so the public can actually know regarding the Water Corp?
Through you, Madam Mayor. I might defer to the Director of Planning and Development, who's probably going to be able to articulate that better than me.
Hopefully. I have spoken to our Manager of Planning to give us an update on this. It's in relation to Water Corp's activities on site, in relation to upgrading or putting in place a sewage pump station on that site. And as part of those works, they are injecting cleaning. Our compliance officer went out on site this afternoon to advise the people on site to not knock down any of the trees that are there. So hopefully that message gets across and we preserve the trees that are at the internal site as it is this afternoon.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.
No
That's
worries.
All right. Thank you.
Councillor Hooper?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Jeanbert?
Just one if I could, Madam. 2 weeks ago, the Town of Port Hedland held a public consultation, conversations evening, which there was some great dialogue, some interesting questions, good information shared with the public. I'd just like to know what frequency they'll be continuing on and when the next one will be.
Yeah, they're going to be bi-monthly and they'll always be the second Wednesday of that bi-month.
Second Wednesday.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yep.
Councillor Jacob?
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I just had a question on the Mother's Day Classic Cancer fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if we could have an update, please, on that event that was held by the Town of Port Hedland, including the participation levels and how much money was raised.
Yep, CEO.
I'll defer to Director.
Madam Mayor, the Mother's Day Classic this year was a fantastic outcome for everybody. We had 398 official registrations, which is over 100 more than last year. There were certainly more than that number of people walking, but we understand that some people just come along and walk along, don't necessarily register, that's okay. But we certainly had 398 registrations, and we raised in excess of $40,000, which, given the size of Port Hedland, is an amazing outcome for that.
One more question, please, Madam Mayor. What has the community response been to the news on the Town of Port Hedland Northwest Festival lineup?
I think it's been extremely positive, but I'll again pass to the Director.
Madam Mayor, I've only got the information that was sent out last week to councillors. I guess as a comparison, we looked at media hits in the first sort of 24 to 48 hours. After the announcement this year compared to last year, and the media hits this year have been three times the number that compared to the same period last year. So certainly, and the Facebook activity has been
impressive.
So we're really very quite positive about how well the event's going to go. Certainly, and the lineup has been really well received.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Okay, item six, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Could I have a show of hands, please? Yep, let it reflect 9-0. Item seven, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday, the 24th of April. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so no.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. 7.2, confirmation of the minutes of the special meeting of council held 4:50 on Wednesday the 8th of May. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, I do have a point of clarification, both please, Madam Mayor. In the resolution then on page 13, the resolution said that the resolution was passed 9-0. I voted against that resolution. It should be 8-1. I voted against that resolution.
Sorry, can we see that number again, Councillor Carter?
It's page 13. On the minutes of 4:58 the May. It was the amendment to Greenfield Street at Badari, Real Estate.
Yes,
I did vote against that resolution.
All right, so...
Yeah,
it was just the text clarification on that. But
yeah, it wasn't the resolution, it was just the voting.
All right. So, how about we lay that one to check the audio, and then we'll be able to...
So moved.
Yep. So moved, Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Jacob. All in favour?
Yep.
9-0. And let's... Governance, we'll just check the audio on that. That was just a textual clarification,
yep,
that one.
Yep,
it wasn't
it was
the actual consideration of the item,
no,
but we'll check that
audio.
There
was an address to us.
7.3, confirmation of minutes of the special meeting of council held at 5 p.m. on Wednesday the 8th of May. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, so moved.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. 7.4, confirmation of the minutes of the special meeting of council held on Thursday the 9th of May. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, so moved.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Terrific. Item 8, announcements by chairperson without discussion. And before I commence, I think this is a special opportunity, and I'd like to... welcome our Director of Planning and Development, who recently went to Perth and has brought something back. Would you like to please tell us what you brought back?
I did. I was fortunate enough to attend the breakfast by the Water Corp. The purpose of the breakfast was to get recognition of water efficiency measures through the Water Business Awards. At the breakfast, the town was fortunate enough to be awarded a gold award for the water efficiency measures provided at the international airport. So, it's great pleasure.
Terrific. Isn't it good to start on a good note? How about a round of applause?
So that goes straight to the pool room. Good work.
Okay.
as you can see, it has been a busy month of activities. Certainly the Anzac Day dawn service was a very big highlight, and full commendations, if we can pass back to the RSL Port Hedland branch, who did a terrific job. I know it was a changed format for the first time, but I think it was extremely well received and there was a fantastic attendance there. So well done to RSL Port Hedland. On the 6th of May, the town of Port Hedland actually hosted the Australian Defence Force. They were on a visit, a bit of a information gathering visit with the PDC, and we actually received this plaque. So this was in recognition as a thank you token for hosting that visit and that information sharing session. So CEO, this is another thing for the pool room, or the display that we've got there. So I'll pass that over. So that was, they found the visit very valuable and very informative, and I'm sure that we'll see more visits in the future as well. So thank you to councillors and staff that were present at that visit. That was terrific. And certainly, and I think I'll continue talking about this for a few months now, is the National Tidy Town Sustainable Communities Award. And our luggage is still returning from that trip, so I will be dragging it out to the next council meeting with the presentation of two awards. We were honoured, and it was a fantastic achievement to receive the Environmental Innovation and Protection Award, largely on the basis of the Flatback Turtle Monitoring Program, which Care for Hedland Environmental Association has conducted for the past 9 seasons on our local beaches. So that was a particular highlight for me and the town, but also we were recognised with a highly commended under Community Partnerships and Action. And I think that's a testament to the, whether it's the Mother's Day Classic, the Northwest Festival, Welcome to Hedland Night we just recently had as well, all the fantastic events and initiatives and programs that are happening that we couldn't deliver on our own, that are happening with all the community's input and support. So that's a terrific achievement. When our luggage arrives, I'll certainly look forward to bringing those awards for the pool room as well. Of particular notes in terms of my report, I just want to highlight, you may see there on Wednesday the 1st of May, I actually attended, as did a number of elected members, attended a dust and noise task force briefing session that was held here in our council chambers. It's important to highlight this because this is the second visit that we've had, particularly in relation to this issue. In December, we had the EPA come and visit the town. And now this was our first in Port Hedland briefing from the actual noise and dust task force. And it was certainly stressed at that time that we really do need to have more attendances by that group here in town and actually seeing what is happening in the West End and the implications of, you know, management decisions and direction. And certainly you'll see in a later item that will be considered tonight, item 11.1.1.8, that there is a difference in opinion. And certainly in December 2012, elected members and staff that were present at that meeting, the EPA were quite, I'd say, very harsh in their criticism and their some of the comments that were made to the town in regards to the West End and the implementation of Amendment 22. And certainly even to the extent now with this follow-on visit that some of the members of the Dust and Noise Task Force that attended seemed to sort of question whether we were really implementing Amendment 22 to its true intent. So I think this is one, as a council and a community, it's one that we need to really watch, and I think it's one that we all need to work together on, particularly as we move towards the end of 2015, when the health study in regards to the impact of dust on health and the health impacts will hopefully be determined and realised, and we'll know those impacts. But certainly when members in these chambers actually said that they were surprised and taken aback that there were balconies in the West End. So I think balconies are very Australian, and not just present in the West End, but they're present everywhere. And I think it's just very important that we continue the dialogue and to make sure that going forward that the community gets behind the town in supporting development and supporting activity in the West End. and particularly in regards to the spoil bank, and certainly the marina precinct and the development of the spoil bank marina precinct is dependent upon the development of residential accommodation on the spoil bank. I think we all need to be quite strong and employ the relevant consultants to see if the spoil bank environs is any different to the environs of the old hospital site. So this is one that we're going to need to all watch, and I ask all elected members and executive and community, when there is the opportunity, to make sure that you do attend any events, any meetings, anything that's coming forward in terms of the West End and the implications of dust and noise, and it's one to certainly watch and keep on your radar. So that'll round out my chairperson's report. Thank you. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the May the 15th, I attended FMG's five-year production birthday.
Yes.
Well done to FMG. They certainly are good for the town and for employment. So again, well done on the 5 years. On May the 16th, I attended the Ronald McDonald presentation. Again, that was a good presentation made. And anybody who can assist by donating money to Ronald McDonald, please do so. They're a great organisation. And on May the 17th, I opened the Welcome to Headland Night. Big crowd was present, and well done to all those who organised such a great night.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Carter?
Only one, Madam Mayor. I also attended a function at the Ethno Hotel, the ADF business, and they are very, very, very interesting people to talk to, and mm-hmm. very interested in the Pilbara.
Great. That's terrific. Right. Thank you. Councillor Gillingham?
Oh, yes, thank you. I had the opportunity to attend the opening of the refurbished Esplanade Hotel on the 11th of May.
Yes.
And that was a glitzy night, and now a 4.5-star rated hotel for Port Hedland. I say congratulations to the present owners, and it was a great evening, and I think people will flock down there. And also the Welcome to Hedland Night, we made a presence there at the Welcome to Hedland Night, and it was a good night. One thing, a little niggle about the Welcome to Hedland Night was the white gravel stone, which people found difficult to push in their prams through, so we have to look into something like that for the future, perhaps a pathway or something, but otherwise it was a very well attended night, and the rain held off. So. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes, welcome to Headland Night. It was a great night. Just one thing that I'd like to mention, though, many of us were there at the thank you dinner for Tom Stevens with the councillors. I just thought I'd like to make mention of that fact tonight, that we farewelled Tom Stevens, a man who's been well known around our town for a long time.
Terrific, thank you. Councillor Jean-Marc?
Just two, if I could, please. And last week, the Port Hedland Chamber of Commerce held its monthly business after hours, an opportunity for business to network in the community at Westpac. It was very successful. And next week, the Chamber of Commerce will be supporting the town of Port Hedland in a sundowner at the South Hedland Shopping Centre, which will be celebrating the extension of Charter Hall at the shopping centre onto the new town square, and the opportunity to meet some of the new interested parties that will be moving into the expansion. So that's next Tuesday at the South Hedland Shopping Centre, sundowner. Thank you.
Terrific.
Madam Mayor, thank you. I am through the South Hedland Business Association. We will also be encouraging our members to attend the franchisee event that Charter Hall are holding on the 28th of March. And basically, congratulations to you, the people that organised the Welcome to Hedland Night, because the feedback's been really awesome. So thank you very much to the town and its staff and all the community for putting on such a great... I've got new staff in town, so they've been really happy with
it. Terrific. Thank you.
And so by the time it gets around this end of the table, everyone's said it, so well done. I've attended a lot of the events that have also been named.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yes, I'll just add one. Because I was going to involve two, but now you said that. I was with other councillors fortunate to attend the Spinifex Hill Artist funding announcement that was held on Monday morning with BHP and Form and the federal minister attending. So that's it.
Terrific. That's fantastic news. Well done for all your efforts, elected members. Okay, item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. Tonight we have one, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Hedland Senior High School Principal John Burke.
And I'd also like to acknowledge the chairman of the Headland Senior High School Board, Mr. Rob Fry. Thank you very much for coming as well.
I'd really invite Robert to interrupt whenever I get something wrong.
Here. Terrific. Please do.
Chairman of the Board.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Madam Chair, councillors, elected members. I really appreciate the opportunity as members of the public to want to talk about my school. Principals will be very eloquent and long-winded about how their school's going, so I'll try and keep it brief. I could have come and talked about some of the programs that we deliver. I could have talked about the new redevelopment, which is the opening is imminent. I could have talked about my wonderful staff, our retention and attraction processes that we've got in place. But I thought I'd start at the end point, start with the students and the student outcomes. So over the course of the next 10 minutes, I just want to present where we're at the moment and how we might weigh the performance of our kids in our school. Because I think our kids speak for themselves. They're by and large wonderful young people doing great things in the school, so I want to share that. Data, which is what I'm going to focus on tonight for the 10 minutes, is pretty boring in itself, so I've interspersed the data with photos of our kids doing stuff. So I'll try and tell the narrative of the data as we go through with our kids, if that makes sense. Look, the question I'd ask if I was you sitting here in the chambers is, do we have a school that we can be proud of? Headland Senior High School, 42 years old this year. Very proud history of providing education in Headland. And my answer is yes, as a principal, but I suppose you can make your own mind up as we go through this. This is our school leadership group, a wonderful, diverse range of young people. We're represented by about 60 nationalities in our school, kids with disability, kids that are Aboriginal, kids that identify with other cultural backgrounds, but a wonderful, diverse community, and they're our school leaders for this year. And some of you will know those kids and know that diversity and the specialness of those young people. In terms of our data, what does it tell us about Headland Senior High School? Well, we're the top vet school in the state. I'm rejoicing in this, I'm not saying to the kids we're not number two or three or four, we're number one. And there's a photo of a fairly rotund gentleman coming up in a moment. I'll just put that in there to prove this bit. But every student in our school last year, in year 12, that attempted a certificate two attained one. And we shared that award with nine other schools that also did the same. Some schools that have a lot. In the main, big metropolitan schools that have a lot of prestige, so I'm really proud of that. The graduation rate is 96%, so 96% of our Year 12s met the requirements of WACE. If I use a lot of acronyms, I apologise in advance, but I won't have time to go through all of them, but that's the graduation rate. Three of our kids got an ATAR over 80. That'll get you into most university courses that you would like to get into. And 16 of our 72 in Year 12, there were 23 that attempted an ATAR pathway. Got front door or alternate entry into university. We put that to 17, there was another one that got a late opportunity at a university in Melbourne. Our attainment rate, which is the number of kids that get an ATAR over 55, an ATAR of 55 gets you into a university course, or a certificate two. In 2011, we went from 39% of our year 12s, that jumped up to 72% last year. And I'm looking for that trend to increase, not by the same amount, but I'm looking ultimately for 100% of our students that come to our school get into university or get a certificate too when they leave us. So really pleased with that. This young bloke, Chavez, over in the Eastern States getting an award as part of a ball, put together to acknowledge our achievement of our Indigenous kids, and there were five of those young people that went across and shared that award and the acknowledgement of that scholarship. Top vet school in 2012, that's just to prove that it was us, right? My staff made a bit of a gag last year. They said, what's the saying, what's consistent between Father Christmas and schools? And basically the punchline is that the fat bloke in the suit gets all the credit. I'll share that with you. But that's the Director General and the Minister, of course. That's the last photo of me you'll see. These photos of their kids I love because it sort of tells the story of the school. This is our shooting goals kids. Bright, excited and engaged, and I'll come to why that's important in a little while. But I will talk about data, and it's not the sexiest of things to talk about, but I think it's important to understand as a community where we sit. In 2008, this is our NAPLAN performance. This little red line here is us, Headland Senior High School. The black line is the like schools that we're measured against. So they bundle all of a group of schools together that have got the same sort of SEI or ICSEA, so same sort of socioeconomic factors, country, size, number of Aboriginal kids, a whole bundle of things. In 2008, our school sat the best part of 10 NAPLANs in a test score behind our like schools. And over the course of the last 5 years, and this is last year's data, we've maintained, developed and maintained a healthy gap between our like schools and ourselves in terms of numeracy performance. That's a really solid sort of pleasing trend. And if I was going to draw a trend line, it just sort of looks something like that. So I'm pleased to see an upward trend and look forward to that continuing. Whoops. When you have a look at some of the other data, our writing kids performed as they should when compared to like schools until last year. We had a real change and an emphasis in our displays of writing text, and that's a massive improvement. Statistically, it's really significant. I'll come back to that in a moment. So our kids do better in writing than our like schools. Same kids, of course, in reading. Again, from a low base, we've jumped up and we've maintained and started to spread that gap between ourselves and like schools. Spelling the same, broadening the gap, and this one's really interesting. Grammar and punctuation, I'm really intrigued by this because I've talked to our English teachers about it a fair bit. Our kids perform closer to all WA schools than they do to like schools, and that's massive in terms of how our kids are performing. So anyway, what's that sort of mean? Now the data again, it's not the sexiest of things, but when I have a look at 2010, 11 and 12, these numbers here are the standard deviations. So we're in 2010, we were 0.7 of a standard deviation above like schools. Anything that's in the green is above expected by standard deviation, and that's statistically quite massive. And again, I'm not necessarily looking for a massive jump like we've seen here between 2011 and 12. What I'm looking for is trend, and it's really pleasing to see more of these squares being green and that we're performing better than like schools. So what does that mean? And I guess I'll just jump back a little bit. I know that council has had the good fortune to go to a meeting where there was one of my colleagues that presented comparisons between schools. So I suppose, you know, principals will talk positively about the school without question. So I really like the next table. I don't want to refer to the schools specifically, but I do want to compare to our like schools and show you how we sit. So this is a screenshot of an online bit of data that enables me to compare our like schools. So these are the schools that we're compared to. And then it looks at our kids' performance in year 3, 5, 7 in terms of NAPLAN. So this is the stuff that I've just gone over. So how do we compare to those guys? I'm really reluctant to share this because I think in some ways it talks about schools' context and you don't have that. So some schools are doing well, some are doing poorer for a number of reasons. But this is us. This little highlighted piece is us. The green markers are those standard deviations about how we're performing. So in terms of the totality of those schools, I think you can sort of get a bit of a sense that we're going okay, or better than okay, really. Compared to our like schools, we're performing really well, and I'm really pleased to see that. And again, I don't want to draw attention to the other schools necessarily. I want to draw attention to our performance in that bunch of schools. One of the reasons I think we're going okay is programs like Kicking Goals and Shooting Goals. These guys are off tonight, hopefully beating Newman currently. They've got a night game over at Newman and the Carnival. Josh Kennedy, who's obviously... plays for the enemy, of course, if you're a football supporter. really highly motivated group of young men and women connected to sport that are getting them to school more often than they might have been otherwise. And also engaging in those things about leadership skills, self-development, personal responsibility and respect. And just to sort of show highlight the progression in NAPLAN, and it's not everything. This quadrant is the one where we want to sit. So this is year 2011, looking at how we compare to our like schools. Now, basically, these kids here have got higher progress and higher achievement than like schools. So they've got higher achievement in terms of the raw number, and then they've got higher progress from year 7 to 9. So in 2011, kind of, this is the year 7s that were here with us in Headland in 2009. These are the kids that are with us in year 9, 2011. Now obviously there's lower progress and lower achievement here, sort of on the border for grammar and punctuation, and then we're starting to see sort of some work with spelling, which is interesting in itself. If we jump forward to last year's kids, all right, the shift has been quite significant. Now, I'm really pleased about that as a principal, but also very nervous, because who's to say that next year we won't be down here again with a different cohort of kids? So I temper that by saying, I really want to capture the trend. I want to see, over time, a general trend towards our kids broadening that gap between like schools and ourselves, and getting closer to all WA schools. Of course, it's not just about NAPLAN, right? The artistic talents of our kids are well documented. Both our visual arts, performing arts, and music. I think we do a really good job, and again, connecting to kids where they are best connecting to curriculum. not just about reading and writing and arithmetic. Of course, it's WAMSE, is the Western Australian Monitoring Standards in Education, and they measure how we're going with science and with S&E. 2011, again, the standard deviation bit. Our kids performed under in Year 9 in science, and they performed above in society and environment. This jump here between 2011 and 12 is massive. Right, the society and environment teachers are doing an incredible job. It's almost two standard deviations. If apologies, Arnold, to you about this, because I'm not well versed in the dark arts of horse racing, but that would almost be enough to get you swallowed.
Inquiry, John.
When you look at the kids, that are the same group of kids, same 2011, this is only in Year 9, right? They've still made a massive improvement in science as well. So I'm really pleased again about trend lines. The arts, this is our guys down at Whopper. Of course, generous sponsorship across the board, and I do have a copy for councillors of our annual report, just to get a sense of some of our sponsorship, and this is obviously enabled by BHP to get our kids to go down and compare themselves, not just to regional kids, but to all WA kids by accessing some of the things that are down in Perth. Again, this is the same snapshot of our school against our like schools, but this is not for NAPLAN, this is for our Year 12 achievement. How did our kids go in terms of Year 12? My shaky hand around my highlighter on the computer sort of wanders a little bit before a graph gets picked up. But we had 57 eligible kids to get their waste, 96%, so in essence that's 56 of them. Our attainment rate is what I talked about before, 74% of our kids got an attainment. Our relative performance, we're down there in terms of 0.6 of a standard deviation in terms of our ATAR performance. Our average ATAR was 56.5. When you have a look at some of these schools, and the reason I will compare this school, that when you look at Broome, who we do really well against in terms of NAPLAN, Broome's doing some great stuff around getting more kids to be doing a TE course. And that's one of our challenges, really, to get our skates on and continue to build with that. But we're punching, certainly if you look at our attainment rate and compare that to those schools, the gaps there are schools that don't have enough kids to have an attainment rate. We're doing really well against a whole bunch of schools, including some major metropolitan schools. And if I did have internet access tonight, I'd get the floor to sort of pick up some schools and we can compare them live and see how we're going with other schools that you might be familiar with. It's not just about academic performance. I'm going to pick up attendance at the moment. This black mark is the attendance that that the state achieves. So if for most most year groups, you find it around about 90%. So this is year 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s and 12s. They're the state averages. See that our kids 2010, okay, that performance is quite solid, and a big drop in 2011. That was by and large the way that we counted our kids. And there's no excuses for that, but I think we had a whole lot of work about making sure we were comparing like and like. And in 2012 we saw a significant jump, around about 5%. Our attendance improved by 5% last year. And part of that is about a network approach with a network attendance coordinator who's doing some great work across all of our schools, primary schools and high school, to get more kids to school more often. This number though, our Year 12s last year, and some of you will know some of our Year 12s, Councillor Hooper, I think one particularly, those kids did outstanding. They weren't compared to like schools. Right? Those kids came to school often enough to be compared to the state average. And that's where we're aspirational. Now, we've got a much more diverse population than most schools, so we've got a diversity around the kids attending. But clearly we want to be seen to be closer to this than the gap that emerges between some of our year, in particular, 9s, 10s and 11s. Look, just some photos to finish off with, I guess. In summary, the photos that we've got of kids are bright and colourful and kids are all smiling, because that's kind of like the truth of our school. And I'll tell you that as a principal. I encourage you to come and knock on the door and say good day at some point if you want to have a wander through. The majority of our kids are engaged in their learning and coming to school more often than they might be. And it's not just my perception, I guess. I've got the numbers for 2012 recently, but this is the retention rate, right? So these are the kids that came to us in 2009, they were in Year 12 in 2009 and they came to us when they were Year 8. So retention from Year 8 through to Year 12. In 2009, just under 30% of our kids started in Year 8 and finished in Year 12. Right. Now, for a number of reasons that are well versed, and I acknowledge my predecessor Carol Cook with this, that the jump between 2009 and 10 talks to me about confidence in the school, community confidence in the school. Is this a place I can send my children to? Is this a school that the community can be proud of? So that almost doubled in a short period of time. but did double by the end of 2011. And that number has gone up to just under 60% this year. So again, if we're looking for a trend line, the massive jump 2009 to 10 is great. That trend line of continued kids coming to school at Headland and staying here for the duration is what we're looking for, knowing that we're a very transient place. And one of the reasons for saying, why kids coming to school and staying for longer, I guess, is our connection to our primary schools. This is the Museum of Australian Democracy exhibition last year that was just outstanding. This young lady here is one of our LEAP kids, Academic Extension Program in Year 8, where we've really targeted the kids that might have gone to other schools in Year 8 and 9 and said we can push you very quickly and give you quality teaching and great depth of experience. And part of this experience, this young lady, was to she effectively became a curator of that exhibition. And this young lady here is from Port Hedland Primary School who came across and were led through the exhibition by our LEAP kids as an extension activity. So what we're trying to do with our primary colleagues and our network is really, I reckon, in terms of being a functioning network between high schools and primary schools, we're a high-functioning network. And the drive for me and the investment for our high school in terms of funding some of the activities that we do or getting our kids to talk with the primary kids more often is really about making sure that parents in the community, if they're choosing to, if they're looking for options of high school, they can come to Headland Senior High School and say, well, do you fit my child? Is there a choice for me rather than leaving town to come and stay in town and stay for the journey? My aim as a principal and my aim of my staff, I guess, is to make sure that we can hopefully give that choice to parents. The reason I wanted to talk about data tonight is that I think I can come up here and tell you about the wonderful programs we deliver. But I really think the way that we can weigh our performance as a school and talk about that in the community is important so that the community can get a snapshot of how we're travelling. So a question that started, it was a rhetorical one. Do we have a school we can be proud of? Well, I think we do, without question. I'm thrilled to bits with our achievement as a school, thrilled to bits with the activities of our kids and our engagement. And we've still got some work to go. And if you pick up our annual report or get online to Schools Online, our website should be up imminently. Have a look at our annual report because I also talk about our challenges. Our challenges are also great, but I think we're in really good, robust nick to deliver quality education to the community of the greater town of Port Hedland. I really want to acknowledge the councillors for the opportunity to come and talk. I'm more than happy to take questions if appropriate, but certainly thank you for your opportunity to come and talk to you about my school.
And certainly is appropriate. Any councillors with questions? Or members of the public with questions?
Can I just ask, do the children get to see what you've shown us tonight?
It was funny, June. I just acknowledge Penny's councillor who came and presented a sponsorship to our assembly yesterday. Seems like 1,000 years ago. we pretty well did an abridged version of what I've done tonight to the whole school yesterday. Our school leadership team and our school councillors get to come in and out of school board meetings and access this information, this data, which is presented obviously formally to the school board. But really want to make sure that we're celebrating that and keep celebrating their achievement as well, because they're doing outstanding things regularly.
Now, I know the children that I'm in touch with, particularly those with abilities, are very proud to
grow
the
history. Absolutely. Any other questions, anyone? Well, again, thank you. Oh, sorry, Gloria.
I just want to take the opportunity to congratulate John and his team at Headland Senior High School. It's obvious the great difference. My children left early, but the difference for where the high school is today is spectacular. And I want to just say how wonderful a proud we are that you are there at the school. And you and your team are making such a difference.
That's great, so fantastic, and I appreciate that, Gloria. Just by way of opening invitation, I think many of you would have seen the ads in the paper. We've got an open day tomorrow from 3:45 at the MacDan. And that's really the rest of the story about where we're going. So the new buildings, which are shiny and new and all fantastic, I'd love to share. But the parents will hear a little bit about this presentation tomorrow as well. So 3:45, if you'd like to come and look at the new buildings, and of course the opening might be 2:30.
Perfect. Well, thanks. Thank you very much, Rob, for coming as well. And thank you, John. How about another round of applause? Awesome. Okay. before we get into the business of council, important note, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by council has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Without any further ado, we'll begin the business of council. If you want to leave, you're most welcome. Okay, item 11, reports of officers. Item 11.1.1.1, proposed 10 multiple dwellings on lot 1, in brackets 1-65, Kingsville Street, Port Hedland, with the officer's recommendation.
I'd like to declare an impartiality.
Yes.
With regards to item 11.1.1.1. I am declaring a part in, with regards to the matter, I disclose that I have an association with the applicant. I am in a business transaction with Hightower Planning and Development. And therefore, as a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merit and vote accordingly.
Terrific. Any other declarations? Okay, I have an officer's recommendation on page 18. Any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Flipping through, page 40, item 11.1.1.2, proposed amalgamation of unallocated Crown land into Reserve 46652, being lot 581 on deposited plan 67090 South Hedland, with the officer's recommendation on page 42.
Just a point of clarification, yes. If I may. What are the street names actually on the page 43?
CEO?
The cul-de-sac is, to my understanding, is Godric Place, and the street to the, I guess, the bottom right-hand corner is North Circle.
Okay. Any further points of clarification?
No, thank you.
No points.
Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.1.1.3, proposed 13 multiple dwellings on lot 733, in brackets 60 Moore Street, Port Hedland.
I have an impartiality declaration on that, Madam Mayor. With regard to item 11.1.1.3, I disclose that I have an association with the applicants of concert and may be perception my impartiality matter may be affected. I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Right, thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Excuse me, Madam, I have a disclosure of financial interest due to proximity.
Fantastic.
So I need to leave.
So yours is an impartiality because you know the applicant? Or?
No, I live in the street.
So that's a proximity interest?
Only if he's adjacent.
It's right opposite the road.
So
wouldn't have met court the Jenny Law if we live in three houses across the road.
All right. Okay, do I have any further declarations? If not, any points of clarification on officer's recommendation on page 48?
Moved,
Councillor De Cash. Seconded, Councillor Carter. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Could someone please retrieve?
She's done her own one, though. What's that? She's done her own. Whenever it's not. Smoking a drink.
Taking a comfort break.
That's what the card is, isn't
it? She's too quick.
Councillor Jacob already owes a few packets of Tim Tams.
Yeah. No chocolates.
That's for the diary noise. Well done, Director. That was your 5:30. Well done. Councillor Taylor, as you resume your seat at the table, letting you know the officer's recommendation was passed as is, 8-0. Welcome back. Item 11.1.1.4, proposed 14 multiple dwellings on lot 507, in brackets 28, Sutherland Street, Port Hedland. With an officer's recommendation on page 81. Do I have any points?
Yeah, I'd like to ask just a point of clarification on the adjacent blocks. This dwelling is a four-storey mini skyscraper hotel-looking kind of construction. I refer to the artist's impression on page 117. What consultation has taken place with the adjacent property owners on the street there that are just single house dwellings? Has there been any consultation?
Through the chair, my understanding is consultation with our management planning services. We did check this prior to this council meeting and all the adjoining landowners. There's two adjacent directly on the right and left hand side, and there's two at the rear. They're all advised of the proposed development and my understanding of the decision objections.
Any further points of clarification?
No points, so moved, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. All in favour?
I'm against.
Against, okay. Speaker Paul.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I've taken into the recommendation also the notification from the director regarding the consultation and the appeal, and if we're going to let these people come along and help alleviate the shortage of housing, I think. Okay, it might be a big building at some time, but I can imagine right along Sutherland Street, along that, there'll be a lot more opportunity for people to move in this direction. So I think it's a move in the right direction.
Speaker against?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. The implementation of Town Planning Scheme Amendment 22 has seen an explosion of multi-dwelling developments in place of family homes. Given the huge parcel of land covered by Amendment 22, from Taplin Street to the town centre, this is a vast area to only have one to two bedroom small apartment block style developments. In the current real estate market, we know that such accommodation will be predominantly used for FIFO style accommodation. The State Government Dusk Task Force openly supports the short stay nature of the developments. Such development proposals do not support the long term stability of infrastructure accommodation needs of a growing diverse community. Many people feel that the implications of Town Planning Scheme Amendment 22 are not only resulting in poor planning and town development outcomes, but the whole premise of Amendment 22 is based on poorly scrutinised data with incorrect conclusions. I've had many electors raise this serious concern with me. In the rush to capitalise on the lucrative Port Hedland real estate market, developers have seized on the changes brought in by Town Planning Scheme Amendment 22, and the streetscape of the West End is changing forever. Without immediate planning controls, we will see streets with single dwellings dotted between large multi-storey apartment blocks squeezed onto the sites where single dwelling homes once stood. I strongly support anything that can help with the current housing affordability crisis. Multiple dwellings are certainly one way of doing this and should form part of a planned multifaceted solution. We aren't seeing a mix of housing developments. There are no terraced houses, no townhouses. There is no variation in development proposals from the large area that is the West End coming to council. In my short time as a councillor, I've only seen numerous, mostly one-bedroom, multi-dwelling developments coming to council from the West End. The results of Amendment 22 are within the general principles of development and planning, as the subsequent are not within the general principles of development and planning, as the subsequent developments are not a significant improvement on amenity and will ensure pressure on remaining families and single dwelling properties in the West End to change. We've all seen streets with multi-storey apartment blocks with the remnant few family homes left forlornly in between. Is this the streetscape our community wants? The outcomes of the Strategic Community Plan 2012 to 2022 were to increase the housing choices and affordability, encouraging a locally based workforce made up of people calling Hedland home. Continued approval of such large scale, in this case four-storey multiple dwellings, is not achieving this nor contributing to it, and so I do not support this proposal.
Speaker four.
I'll speak for it. I believe that this is one of the most attractive development applications that we have seen for a long time. And it certainly will hopefully raise the standard of any future developments. Just at the last council meeting, there were more just one block up, similar in this, that we passed at a meeting. It is going to be a whole area of much higher density. Yes, they will be one bedroom, but if you go to any inner city place in Perth, everything, this is what they have got there. And I think as each large town, city moves forward, you will have large areas of higher density, maybe single bedroom apartments, sometimes two bedroom apartments that pop up. And this is where what our town needs at this moment in time. There are still family houses coming online, and I think it needs to happen.
Speaker against?
Yeah, thank you. While I do find this an attractive building, I am a bit concerned that at this point in time, I do not know if the residents bordering this block are either renting or own occupiers, if possible. If they're only renting, it's possible that they don't care what is going on outside of them. So at this point in time, I think until I would know more, I would be voting against.
Speaker 4.
Just for clarification, my understanding is when we do a notified joint matter, as it goes to the owner of the property, not necessarily for rental. So just to clarify.
All right, and if I can answer to that one as well. With owners owning buildings for properties which and they don't even live here, they often possibly could not care, possibly.
So just while we're doing that point of clarification, Amendment 22 has been in place since?
For over 6 months now, close to 12, I think. I understand where council is coming from in terms of the multitude of unit developers that occur in the West End. The change that is occurring is quite significant. You're going from a R20, R30 zone to an R80 zone, and all developments all developers take the opportunity to develop up to the maximum potential, which is the R80. Normally, when you do have such increases in density, you will have a time or a period of time where you are going to have that, lack of a better word, clash or inconsistency between what the previous vision of an area was, which is single detached dwellings and duplexes, etc., to where the vision that was created by Amendment 22 is going, and that is a medium density style development. If council's vision has changed in more recent times, then we need to amend the scheme again to reflect what council's desires are at this point in time. It's extraordinary, but it's a reflection of poor heaven in terms of how quickly things change. That we've gone through quite a long planning scheme amendment process to get to this stage, and within such a short period of time, we're back in that position of changing the scheme and changing the zoning provisions over that area again. But if council so desires, then that's the time when we probably have to review what we want to see in the West End. I guess another element to that, and picking up on Councillor Taylor's points, the diversity in housing. There's another agenda item later in tonight's agenda regarding a housing strategy, and that will hopefully start addressing some of those issues in terms of where we want to see townhouses being developed, where we want to see group dwellings being developed, where we want to see multiple dwellings being developed, and that type of development. So it's actually going to start identifying the types of accommodation we want to see in various localities, which is going to be quite distinct from the current situation we have, which is just basically a density and people develop to the ultimate density that is there. In a perfect world, we have a housing strategy in place to actually identify where the townhouse should be, where certain blocks should be. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we've got them to that too.
Thank you for that technical advice. That was very comprehensive, and the CEO was being a bit rude and not listening to all of it, but thank you very much. So just before I do the right of reply, I'll do a little bit of the any more for or against before I offer the right of reply.
Well, I'll
speaking.
I'm supportive of the development. However, I'm very persuaded by the arguments presented by Councillor Taylor in the fact that I do believe that scheme, TPS scheme amendment number 22 could be construed as too prescriptive, and while the R codes have changed, I guess I'd want a clarification on this. I'm of the understanding that the amendment actually says that the developments are restrictive of single dwelling and family places. So they're either espousing, the scheme espouses to a high density development at the expense of, and this could be a clarification I need, is it true that if your house gets blown away by a cyclone, you cannot replace that house, you have to put something of a multi-dwelling nature on it?
No, through the chair, just to clarify that. If that was the situation, the existing dwelling house has a non-conforming use right under the current planning scheme. So if it gets blown away through a cyclone or whatever else, then you can replace it with a dwelling. When Scheme Amendment 22 was endorsed by council to be forwarded to the minister, there was a provision in there regarding the retention of dwelling houses using use rights. Somewhere along the line, through the state agencies, that additional provision that was endorsed by council hasn't actually been followed through. So currently our officers are in consultation with the Department of Planning, and it's probably something we can actually address as part of the new planning scheme provisions.
So I guess, to support the development, I'd want to support Councillor Taylor's argument and also Councillor Gillingham's argument about there being a diversity of accommodation offer available. And the four-storey scares me in that area. I believe that if we go by what the scheme recommends, you're going to get a lot of people building, and most of the developments that have been coming through have been of multiple dwelling nature, of a high-rise nature. So support the development, but would like to recommend a review of TPS scheme amendment number 22 at some stage.
All right, well, let's just hold that. So speaker for, any speakers against, or else right of reply, as we have this item to consider, right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What you've got to look at, this is only the beginning. It's an ocean front. It's not at the back of the street. It's an ocean front. You've got applications coming in for increase in the hotel, and you're going to have the application in the arena. It's definitely the same. It's not going to be sitting down. You're not going to be sitting down there with one and two bedroom. Okay. This is iconic stuff along the beachfront, and this is what people buy blocks of land for, to make an investments where they can get a return on, and the actual presentation of making the whole of the oceanfront an attractive part of Portland, I think, is part of this development. R22 has its bad lots, but I think in a case like this is one I would like to see go ahead, because it's only the beginning of a lot of other development on that oceanfront, believe me.
Thank you for your passionate right of reply, Councillor Carter. Okay, I'll put it to a vote now. Those in favour, a show of hands, please. Those against, a show of hands, please. Let the vote record 7-2. Motion is carried. Okay, page 118, item 11.1.1.5, proposal to initiate the Town of Port Hedland local housing strategy. Seeking expression of interest for project steering group members.
Point clarification, Madam Mayor. On page 124, 4.5, you've got a forum for this meeting, as you can see, but there's no actual mention of the committee member.
Community
member to be part of that forum, which I believe should be added to the fact, and change the shall be 6, not 5, for the quorum, plus where it says representative from the Port Hedland Chamber of Commerce, Westfield Small Business Association, and South Hedland Small Business. I believe they should also add a deputy there, except because every other one has got two or more that can attend. So if we can also
proxy.
Have proxies for those three areas there, I think it'll make sure that we do have quorums when the meetings are called.
All right, so I have that amendment. Can I just have some names to fill in for part A? Do I have some? Councillor Hunt, Councillor Jacob, Councillor Taylor, Mayor Howlett, any other people? Must be an oversight not to let the Mayor be on there, so whack that in as well. And with that, so I have a move.
So sorry, yeah. So that means we're actually having an election?
or you're changing the terms of
reference. Just changing the terms of reference.
To have four elected members on there now?
Yep.
So then also in terms of on page 124, decisions of the steering group will be via a majority consensus of 5 members. Is that now changing?
Well, that'd be 6.
Well, you've added now added another 2 elected members. So you've now got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. If you're having 4 elected members.
Through the chair, wouldn't so just one member, 7. One member be voting instead of the whole gambit?
Well, for a member, they'll have a voting right. I think if I can, as a point of clarification, I think the makeup of the committees, working groups and steering groups are sometimes limited to ensure there is a quorum available. The larger group you make, sometimes the harder it is to actually get a quorum there. That's the only comment, Madam Mayor. So I just think you need to be mindful of not trying
Move
to make...
Are still happy?
But yes.
But to change the majority now being 7 members or 6? 7, there's 12, so you need...
It's only a working group, so it's...
6?
It's council's decision.
Councillor De Cash, 6? Okay, so with 6 being there, with 4.5, the quorum being 6, with the addition of dot point, the representative of the community, and in part 3, with now being Mayor Howlett, Councillor Jacob, Councillor Hunt, Councillor Taylor, and with E, F, G having proxy capacities. Have I got that correct, Councillor De Cash? I have a mover in Councillor De Cash. Do I have a seconder in that, Councillor Jacob? Do I have any gates?
Yeah, you want to, through the chair, 4.2 membership of the seat. You want to offer that and say decision strength will be by a majority consists of 5. Do you want to leave that at 5?
No, he said 6. I've got a mover and seconder for 6.
6, thank you.
All right, so I have a mover and seconder. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay, item 11.1.1.6, final adoption of proposed local planning policy, Kingsford Business Park design guidelines, with the officer's recommendation on page 129.
More point for clarification.
Could I just ask for a point of clarification? do we then, I just see it's being added as a local planning policy. I was just wondering, can we place it on our website and make sure it's publicly available, all that sort of stuff, so that all happens?
Yeah, that is the process.
That's good.
No
point for clarification. I'll second it. Moved, Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Any against? Motion carried 9-0. Good work. Okay, on page 137, item 11.1.1.7, proposed final adoption of Scheme Amendment 58 to the Town of Port Hedland Town Planning Scheme Number 5 to rezone land bound by Apple Street in brackets northeast, Cook Point Road in brackets west, and Pretty Pool in brackets south to urban development, with the officer's recommendation on page 141. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes. Can we change Cook Point Road to Cook Point Drive?
Yep.
I think it's been Cook Point Drive since I've been here 40 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And we make sure that's...
Okay, so we'll just correct it. We won't change it. All right. Now, are there any other points of clarification?
No points,
I move. Move, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against?
Yep.
Speaker 4.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this is something that's going to be going for a long time, and it's purely only an application that goes back to the planning department for adoption. So I think it's only the beginning of a long, long, long trial to have it all clarified.
Speaker against?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I welcome the opportunity to outline the many reasons why this proposal should not proceed. This proposal not only lacks urgency and will not deliver the desired housing outcomes of the Port Hedland Community Strategic Plan, but in addition has an overwhelming number of risks, flaws and harmful consequences to the coastal amenity and enjoyment of the entire Cook Point and Pretty Pool area. As outlined in the Town of Port Hedland's officer's report, the most obvious constraint to the development site is flooding. This area is a tidal zone. The officer goes on to note that any proposed development would require fill and elevated housing. The consultant report from Land Corp indicates that the height of the area is largely between 1 to 2 metres from the high tide mark, with studies cited by Land Corp to show storm surge events require an elevation of the site to 6 metres. The amount of fill required to elevate the site above 6 metres will be phenomenal. I note that the consultant suggests this will be the subject of a separate field study investigation. And I note that consultants sure know how to make sure their work never runs out. The earthworks and engineering required to make the site suitable for building on are extensive, and the ground conditions, given that it is a tidal flat, means that all grading and earthworks will have to grade up fill levels as the road grades up from the creek. The LandCorp report clearly states no pipe works are possible due to the high risk of flooding and the soil conditions. To make development possible, the site drainage will require open drains. In Headland, we call these ditches. Development requiring ditches in the Cook Point and Prettypool area is definitely not an amenity improvement. The development of this tidal zone will result in a decreased tidal prism in the Prettypool Creek area. This means the same tidal water will have less area to spread out in, creating greater volumes and water velocities throughout the creek. The Department of Water have identified that the development would detrimentally impact on the existing tidal flooding regime of the area, with a significant effect in the mouth of Prettypool Creek. As well as affecting tidal flows in Prettypool Creek, the development would see an increased urban runoff from paved areas into the creek system. All rainwater and other water will drain in the direction of Prettypool Creek, so the open ditches are needed to cope with our monsoonal rainfall events. Urban runoff from car driveways, roads and gardens would flow through the aforementioned deliberately designed ditches and into the tidal area and the Prettypool Creek. This urban drainage is a form of pollution into a waterway that is already well loved yet under pressure from surrounding development. In addition, what flows down the drainage ditches in a rainstorm can flow up again in a cyclone tidal surge. The Prettypool Creek area is a habitat for numerous seabirds, birds of prey, crustaceans, marine life, fish and plants. The Department of Environmental Conservation noted the area formed part of the vulnerable flatback turtle habitat. Also identified in the area were 5 species of water birds of conservational significance. Personally, I've been fortunate to see birds of prey hunting in this Prettypool Creek area, and I've also eaten fish caught out of Prettypool Creek. By destroying such a habitat, we risk losing the wonderful wildlife opportunities that Port Hedland presents us on a daily basis. There are many other areas, even just in the Cook Point area, that offer a far less risky development and are ready with infrastructure. The area around McGregor Street is an excellent example. The decommissioned water treatment plant and the surrounding area would be a great amenity improvement if infilled with housing. Let this area be developed, leaving the tidal zone to do its job. Even if the proposed area of rezoning was simply the higher ground immediately adjacent to Athol Street, it would be a different scenario. Rather than what we see here is the vast chunk of tidal flat and close encroachment on the creek that this proposal includes. There are many areas of less significance that could be developed cheaper and quicker rather than destroying public space, wildlife habitat and the intertidal zone that feeds one of our main recreational places, that is Prettypool. This isn't just a colour on a map. A zoning of urban will see the development go ahead in this area, either now or in the future. But once it's zoned urban, it's considered urban. Losing such a key area of beauty, wildlife habitat and public space will go towards losing our soul, our character and identity of the place that is Port Hedland. We as leaders of our town need to manage the growth towards a city while balance the very essence of Hedland that makes it special. Let's continue to see birds of prey hunting in the estuary grasses and ocean, be able to catch fish in Prettypool Creek and see turtles nesting on Prettypool Beach. The LandCorp report states that there is no fatal flaw to advancing the scheme amendment, but I would suggest that there are abundant flaws, and what will result if this goes ahead is a development fraught with many, many risks to an area of coastal amenity, environmental importance and community significance. Let us keep our identity. Prettypool Creek Tidal Zone contributes to the things that make our town special. I would not be supporting this proposal, and I ask the other councillors to join me in protecting this area from urban development. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Speaker 4.
I'll speak for the motion. I second Councillor Carter's statement in that this is the beginning of a very, very long process. One which was earmarked in the growth plan, the town of Port Hedland, and all of the concerns that Councillor Taylor has brought to the table this evening would surely be addressed in a comprehensive business plan for any potential development on that site. So I fully support the proposal and second the motion.
Second speaker against? Right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, it's a planning approval. It reads section 5 of the recommendation. The applicant with regard to clause 6.4.2 of the Port Town Planning Center, council requires the development plan and be submitted and approved prior to any development taking place on this at all. It is purely only a town planning application. No development take place until it comes back to council, and I'm sure that many of the areas that are addressed by Penny will be discussed and also taken consideration when they are taken in. But at this stage, it's the planning approval, and I do think it's an advancement in the right direction.
Okay, I'll have a show of hands. Those in favour, hands. Those against, hands. Let the reflect 7-2. The motion is carried.
Should we record the allocation?
Yep. So against was Councillor Taylor, Councillor Gillingham. Those for were Councillor Jombach, Councillor Jacob, Councillor Hunt, Mayor Howlett, Councillor Detash, Councillor Carter, Councillor Hooper. Okay, page 171, item 11.1.1.8, final adoption of proposed scheme amendment 62 to the Town of Port Hedland number 5 to zone lot 452 Morgan Street, Port Hedland, from a community in brackets health reserve to West End residential, with the officer's recommendation commencing page 179. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, so move.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Jombach. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 9-0. Item 11.1.1.9, proposed initiation of Scheme Amendment number 63 to the Town of Port Hedland Town Planning Scheme number 5 to rezone various portions of land surrounding the South Hedland Wastewater Treatment Plant and portion of lot 510 Cook Point Drive to public purpose wastewater disposal and treatment, with the officer's recommendation commencing page 214. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, Madam Mayor.
Move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Jombach. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 9-0. Okay, we're on item 11.1.1.10, proposed surrender of easement lot 5162 on deposited plan 182506, Colbatch Way, South Hedland, with the officer's recommendation on page 219. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, certainly.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Dekash. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 9-0. Item 11.1.1.11, request to support granting of a right of access easement over Crown Reserve 37447 in brackets lot 6075 on deposited plan 220512. Councillor Jacob.
I would declare financial interest with regards to item 11.1.1.11. I declare that I have a financial interest and I will remove myself.
Great. I'll also declare that I have a financial interest in regards to this item due to my partner casually working with that business, so I'll leave the room as well.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, don't go too far. Thank you, Councillor. If you don't mind, I'll remain in this seat here. Officer recommendation on page 224.
Any points of clarification?
Any points of clarification? No? Okay. Moved Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Hunt. Anybody against? Okay, motion carried 7-0. Thank you. Can we have them back, please? Madam Mayor, Councillor Jacobs, while you come back to your seats, the motion of the recommendation was carried 7-0. Thank
well
you.
Done.
It's all yours, again.
Councillors. Okay. Okay, on page 226, item 11.1.2.1, request for proposals, JD Hardy Centre, in brackets part of reserve 41675, land development project, with the officer's recommendation on page 229. Do I have any points of clarification?
So
move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.1.2.2, request for proposal, solar farming on 100 hectare, precinct 4 and southeast corner of Kingsford Business Park, with the officer's recommendation on page 237. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, I move.
Move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Carter by Hare.
Sorry, just a clarification, Madam Mayor. I think we've lost a couple of words out of the recommendation in terms of the purpose of the request for proposal. So I assumed that after for energy production, we don't actually have a purpose for the RFP. So I understood it was for energy energy production.
Yeah.
Mover Happy?
Yes.
Seconder Happy, Councillor Carter?
Yes, yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Good work. All right, so everyone's still happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there any against? Motion carried 9-0. I'm not falling for that trap, Councillor Carter. Good work. Okay, item 11.2.1.1, request to lease portion of Port Hedland International Airport Terminal to Qantas Airways Limited for self-checking kiosks.
Point of clarification, Madam Mayor. I have a point of...
I'd like to declare a financial interest if I could, with shareholding over the threshold with Qantas.
Mm-hmm. Just one. Think of water that we spilled from before. It's hard work. I need my money this week. Not that it got me anyway, but never mind. Okay. Can I go ahead now?
So, point of clarification.
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. Just in relation to the officer's supporting documentation, if Newman charge less than $600 and every other centre charges less than $1, or less, including Karratha, why is Port Hedland suggesting a rate of $1,500?
CEO?
Madam Mayor, I have to defer to the Director of Engineering Services.
Through the Chair, that's the market valuation for the area that they require to set up their checkout counters on. So it's through our normal disposal process.
Okay. Are you happy with that? Well, only that part of the market appraisal would assess other areas. So I just wondered if in assessing the market value, the price that's charged in other airports would be established.
No, through the Chair, the market valuation, we get it for Port Hedland, so we don't get market valuation for other airports, for our airport. And it's a requirement under the Act that we get a valuation if we're doing a disposal within 6 months. So, in essence, other airports can do whatever and accept the dollar if they wanted to, which was the initial offer from Qantas.
Okay. Another point of clarification. At the airport, are we experiencing crowds of people trying to check in at the same time?
Yes, I can answer that one.
Well, I'm just concerned that every other airport charges, a dollar, and we're going to charge $1,500.
Any other points of clarification?
Just put in an arm statement.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 8-0. Could someone please get Councillor Jeanbach, please? When did you last travel?
That was my point. Qantas are putting in 4 check-in points and we're going to slug them for it.
You get there any time of the plane, you know, later.
Councillor Jeanbach, as you resume your seat, there was very good points of clarification, but it was passed as is 8-0.
Thank you.
All right. Item 11.2.2.1, award of tenders 13-05, apron extension and associated works. Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole title. It's going to do the brackets. Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Carter. Do I have any against? Oops, sorry.
Just through the chair, there was an extra zero by in the table under the officer's recommendation, point four, on the GL account 1210454. I put 45 in, it should be 4.5.
Governors, you're okay with that? Terrific. Okay, everyone's still happy. So I have a mover and seconder. Any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.4.1.1, performance report for period of 1st of January 2013 to 31st of March 2013. The officer's recommendation on page 258. Do I have any further points of clarification?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. Is that referring to this document?
Yes.
Yep.
Any further points of clarification?
No.
I have a mover, and Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.4.1.2, repeal of defunct and obsolete local laws. The officer's recommendation on page 263. Do I have any points of clarification?
Just give me a moment to catch up to you, please, Madam Mayor.
2 No point of clarification, Madam Mayor. I'll
just wait. Is Councillor Taylor on page? Good work. Move, Councillor De Cash, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. All right, item 11.4.2.1, Town of Port Hedland notice of discontinuance in brackets rates and debtors policy with an officer's recommendation on page 267. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, no.
Move, Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Carter.
To make sure that we have entered the last word error on that
error
previously.
Yep.
We noticed that there was a just above the word attachments.
Yep.
It should event of an administrative error. I don't think it reflects that. Just that. On page 267, there was a word left off.
Yep.
There. Should say
CEO sorting it out. Yep.
Beautiful. And with that, I'm
still happy to move. Yep. So, governance, I have a mover in Councillor Jacobs, seconder in Councillor Carter. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.4.2.2, financial reports to Council for period ended 30th of June 2013. The officer's recommendation on page 273. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 11.4.2.3, Wanangarra Stadium process review. Do I have any points of clarification first?
Yes, if there isn't any others. I just wondered, the question during public time covered it a little bit with the points on from and I think the core business people for coming and answering regarding how that process was undertaken. I just was wondering who was the Town of Port Hedland project manager?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the Director of Corporate Services was a nominated project manager for the review.
Any other points of clarification before I get to Councillor Jacob?
Yes, thank you. So the report that we actually have here, is that the actual full report?
Yes. Okay. Any other further points of clarification? If not, Councillor Jacob, you have... Councillor Taylor.
Sorry, apologies. I just was wondering, and I'm not sure if I missed it, because it is a reasonably exhaustive document. One of the questions raised in the community at the time, and I was a community member at the time that this was, that the fire system floors were found and it was subsequently closed and then reopened, was the process undertaken at that time. There was a fair bit of... comment around whether elected members knew or not, and I think it's fairly well on the record that elected members weren't aware of the intention to close shortly after having the opening ceremony. I was just wondering what the process around that, those decisions were made around deciding to have it open and then deciding to close.
Sia?
Through you, Madam Mayor, my understanding is that particular question was not considered as part of the scope of this review. Certainly, I think issues and news and risks are communicated to council is probably something that needs to be under a separate discussion.
Yep.
And ensuring that elected members feel they are getting enough information to understand what's actually happening at the time.
Yep.
But I can't comment any further as to the advice or information that was around at the particular.
Okay. So that's not in this scope of work.
No, it wasn't.
Thank you.
Any further points of clarification?
Yeah, one, Madam Mayor, if I may, is reading the document very intensively and also the identification of the problem that occurred, and it goes back to 2009, if I remember rightly, in the thing, and also it did identify the various people who were negotiated or who were advised of that fault, and mainly it was a letter, it was from FISA. My question through you, if I may, Madam Mayor, through to the consultants,
mm-hmm.
Was there any other letter from FISA apart from the one that was presented in the report from 2009?
Bruce and John, do you have any other letters that you can recall?
As far as I can find from the documentation, and there's quite a bit of it, a lot, it wasn't there either, but when the building contract awarded, it obviously plans haven't been finalised, okay, so then there was a process of the design being prepared for finality and seeking approval, and that's the first contact, as far as I can tell, with FISA about fire service. And of course, part of the building licence application was presented to FISA. FISA responded with a letter, I think,
letter.
2010. Yeah. And that FISA then outlined to the Town of Port Hedland what was required for the fire service. The consequent plan that came out, and there was a number of versions of that plan, starting in October 2010, was to connect a fire service and the commercial service for the centre itself to two new meters. That went through a number of iterations and finalised on the 6th of April 2011. And consequently, the building proceeded. And at that time, I don't think the engineers or the town or anyone really picked up that there was very marginal water pressure, although it must have been known in the community for big development, certainly, that they couldn't get a fire service that was like correct pressure and volume for the flow. And it seemed that wasn't picked up till late in the piece, and even to the point that elected members probably didn't know until after the opening. So that's the situation. There was no one person who could probably pick it up. You know, the plans were there, the meters were connected, new meters to install. And the Water Corporation had done a test back in 2009, showed its marginal at best, and probably under pressure, particularly at the full flow of the two pipes. So yeah, there was knowledge of, I suppose, the engineers, the town, even the designers, I would think. So yeah, you can't really say it's anyone's fault. It just seems to be overlooked right to the end point.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
No worries. Councillor Jacob, you have an addition?
I do have an amendment to the officer's recommendation at point two, whereby I'd like to ensure that the internal project team appointed to review the recommendations within the report include elected members, either one or two,
mm-hmm.
to be on the inside of that internal review team, project team.
And you nominate yourself?
I'm happy to nominate myself.
And Councillor Jambet?
Yep.
Okay, terrific. I have a mover and a seconder in Councillor Jambet. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Governance, you were okay in getting that?
Yeah.
Terrific. Okay, item 12, late items as permitted by Chairperson Council. There are nil. Item 13, reports of committees. 13.1, Airport Committee Minutes, 1st of May. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, I move.
Move Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Jean-Bac. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Item 15, confidential items. Members of the public, I do have a confidential item. It is item 15.1, review of public submissions on the business plan in relation to the proposed property disposition from Bunnings Property to purchase a portion of Lot 12 in the Kingsford Business Park via private treaty and to accept the offer to purchase 1.54 hectares portion of proposed Lot 12. Yep, sure. So, can I have a mover and seconded to go in confidence? Councillor Carter, Councillor Hooper, all in favour? Members of the public, you are invited and most welcome to remain, and once the item has been deliberated, then we'll welcome you back. Did you get that, governance? You're doing really well tonight. Well done. Single soul left.
There's the other confidential one.
Welcome back, Councillor Jacob and Mr. Wally. You should get a full commendation that you've stayed and to wait and hear the results. I am very proud to tell you that the council passed the resolution with a slight amendment, and it was passed 8-0, and I'll read through it. One, notes the submissions that were received from the community and stakeholders regarding the proposed major land transaction with Bunnings Properties Pty Limited for the development of a portion of Lot 12 business plan. Two, resolves to proceed with the proposal as outlined in the business plan in its current form based on feedback received from the public submission process. Three, formally accepts the offer to purchase 1.54 hectares portion of proposed Lot 12 subject to survey within the Kingsford Business Park to the amount of $2,695,000 excluding GST to Bunnings Properties Pty Limited in accordance with sections 3.58 and 3.59 and of the Local Government Act 1995
with the funds to be deposited in the airport reserve account.
Number four, requests the Chief Executive Officer or his delegate to undertake the necessary land transaction procedures to implement point three. That was passed 8-0.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Item 16, applications for leave of absence. Deputy Mayor?
Milman.
Councillor Carter?
Nothing saying that.
Councillor Billingham?
I have to do Tuesday the 28th of May to the 31st of May.
Terrific.
And June the 11th to June the 14th.
Great, thank you. Councillor Hooper?
Mine a little further off. It's July the 19th to August the 10th.
Yep, no worries.
And then August the 28th to August the 31st.
Great, good. Thank you. Councillor Jean-Bac?
No, thank you.
Councillor Jacob?
June the 15th through to June the 28th, maybe.
Okay. Terrific. Councillor Hunt?
I'll be staying in town.
Terrific. Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Lucky you're here for the Netball Championships. Well done.
July 19th.
Yeah, Dewey, the Netball.
No, Penny.
Jacob.
We would not stay in my room.
And then August 28th.
The divorce thing at the moment.
Yeah, the 31st.
Quite the Netball.
Thank you.
Everything is happy. Government's all happy. Okay, I'll have a mover by Councillor Dekash, seconded Councillor Hooper. Yep. Do I have any gates? Motion carried 9-0. Well done. Okay, closure. The next ordinary meeting of council will be held on Wednesday, the 26th of June, commencing at 5:30 p.m. So I'll declare the meeting closed at 7:33. Thank you very much, councillors, staff, governors, and members of the public.
Thank you.
Big business transaction.
Yeah, well done. Everyone should be proud.
Long day, long day, long night. You've got to learn how to hold it. Or you learn how to bolt it.
And I'll turn it off. I'll get Arnold.